chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. Listen now for God's word. Just before the story of Pentecost, which was our passage from last week, is the story of Peter and the other apostles replacing Judas Iscariot. So this is what Acts chapter 1 tells us. It says, "In those days, Peter stood up among the believers and said, 'Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. And he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man Judas acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language, Hakeladama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and let another take his position of overseer.' So one of the men who accompanied us through the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Then at the end of the story of Pentecost, we have some of Peter's words to the people gathered in Jerusalem. Peter says, "This Jesus God raised up, and all of us are witnesses, all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but David himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Just before Pentecost, just before the apostles received the Holy Spirit, Peter and his friends lost a friend. They lost their friend Judas to despair. Afterwards, we see Peter raising his voice with boldness to try and prevent others from experiencing the same tragic fate. In Acts chapter 1, just before the story of Pentecost, we learn about Judas's tragic death. Judas had been one of Jesus' closest followers, one of his 12 disciples. And just before Jesus' crucifixion, Judas had betrayed Jesus. Judas' betrayal led to Jesus' arrest and eventually his death on the cross. After betraying Jesus, we learn in Acts chapter 1 that Judas died in a very particular way. We are told two specific details about Judas's demise. First, we are told that he took the money that he had earned through his betrayal, and he went out and he bought a field. Second, we are told that after buying this field, he fell headlong and burst open. This is a grotesque detail within Scripture. And that is the author's point in telling us about Judas's death. It is to highlight just how terrible his death really was. We are told these two details about Judas's demise. He bought a field. He bought his own place, and that he burst open in that field. In my study of this passage, I have come to understand that both of these details, the place and the experience of Judas's death, both communicate to us about Judas's thinking and his beliefs at the time of his death. The place of Judas's death, that Judas bought his own field, that communicates to us what Judas believed about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It tells us that Judas didn't believe that he had a place in Jesus' kingdom. Judas thought he was out, so Judas bought his own place. This act of leaving town and buying your own plot of land, this action was typical for what happened when a person was on the losing side of kingly politics in the ancient world. If your candidate for king, if the person or the party that you backed and supported, if they didn't actually make it to the throne, then you had to leave town. You backed the wrong person, and so you wouldn't belong in the new king's kingdom. In the ancient world, when a new and victorious king took their throne, the supporters of the losing side got lost. If necessary, they would buy their own land, a place outside the new king's kingdom, where they could hide out and hope that the new king wouldn't be able to find them. In the case of Jesus, who in Acts chapter 1 ascends to the throne of heaven as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in Jesus' case, Judas realized that he had backed the wrong side. He had colluded with Jesus' opponents and betrayed Jesus into their hands. After the resurrection, it became clear that Jesus had come through victorious over his enemies. And here in Acts, after Jesus ascends to the throne of heaven, we see that Judas leaves town. He gets lost. He buys his own place. The kind of death that Judas experienced, it too is a detail that is meant to be rich in symbolic meaning. We are told that Judas's gut bursts open. In the ancient world, the gut was thought of as the metaphoric seat of our emotions. Nowadays, we usually talk about our hearts or our heads as the place where our emotions reside. But in Jesus' day, it was the gut. That's where your emotions resided. And the fact that Judas's gut essentially bursts open and explodes, that fact tells us about that his emotional center explodes. This was a way for the author of the book of Acts to communicate to us that Judas's death came as a result of Judas being overcome by his emotions. To a certain extent, we still talk this way today, not about our guts, but about our minds and our hearts. When someone tells you something that is really wild or amazing or surprising, we often say that our minds are blown. You know, you blew my mind, right? Or when something really terrible or really beautiful happens, we say that our hearts are swelling or that our hearts are overflowing. Or in the most extreme cases, we say that our hearts have broke and our hearts are broken. When a person dies shortly after a longtime spouse has died, we often say that that person has died of a broken heart. Do you see a connection to Judas's death? That is essentially the same thing that has happened to Judas in the story. His gut was so full of emotions that after betraying Jesus, that eventually Judas just couldn't take it any longer. He burst. His heart broke. He bought his own plot of land because he didn't believe he belonged in Jesus' kingdom. And then there, in that place of loneliness, he died of a broken heart. He died overcome by the guilt that he felt. This year, it struck me for the first time how Judas's death impacted Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Many of us know the story of Pentecost. Peter and the apostles received the Holy Spirit. It rests upon them as tongues of fire. It inspires them to preach and to tell the story about Jesus. All the people who are gathered in Jerusalem come out and they hear Peter and the apostles preaching, and they're amazed at Peter and what Peter has to tell about Jesus and God and what has happened through the resurrection and the ascension. Jesus came. He was handed over to be crucified. The people of Jerusalem handed him over to the Romans to be killed, and then he rose and ascended to the throne of heaven. At the end of this account, Peter invites the people of Jerusalem, those who handed Jesus over to be killed, Peter instructs them, commands them, invites them to receive forgiveness and to be baptized into Jesus' kingdom. This year, God helped me to see a connection between Judas's tragic death, alone, overcome by guilt, and Peter's sermon about God's acceptance and God's forgiveness. Judas, Peter's friend and fellow disciple, he had died a truly tragic death. And now, inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter was raising his voice to try and help others to avoid that same kind of tragic death that Judas had befallen. Peter named the guilt of the people of Jerusalem, that they were those who had handed Jesus over to be crucified. But then Peter also made sure that they knew about God's love and acceptance and forgiveness. Peter was raising his voice to help others avoid tragedy. Judas had betrayed Jesus. It was a wicked thing to do. But Peter came to realize that God's response to our wicked and sinful ways, God's response in Jesus Christ was not and is not to seek our deaths nor our destruction or to cast us out to be alone and guilty. God's response to our wicked ways was not and is not to cast us out of God's kingdom or to exclude us from God's table. God's response to our wicked ways was not and is not to wish us to be overcome by guilt or sorrow. Instead, Peter had come to realize that through the forgiving love of his risen Savior, Jesus Christ, God's response to our sinful and wicked ways is to accept us, to love us, and to forgive us. Tragically, Judas never received that message. And so in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, he stood up to make sure that others would hear that message of God's love and God's forgiveness. Peter preached to let people know that even despite our treachery towards God, even despite the terrible things that we might do and the mistakes that we might make in our lives, God reaches out to us with acceptance and forgiveness. God reaches out to us to make sure that we know that we still have a place in God's kingdom and that there is relief from our guilt. Peter preaches because he knows the consequences of silence. He knows what guilt and shame can do. He knows personally because he himself, Peter, has lost a friend. He has seen what can happen. And so Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, stands up and he speaks. These past few weeks, as I have been thinking about this message, I've seen a parallel between this message, which God has for us this morning, and the recent response to the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, that we've seen in our country. The past couple of weeks following the shooting, we have heard people standing up to speak with loud and clear and impassioned voices. People standing up to speak to try and help our world to avoid tragedies, like the tragedies that people have experienced. We've heard the voices of the parents of children who died in school shootings in Sandy Hook Elementary, pleading with us, their fellow Americans, to raise our voices, to stand up and to advocate for reasonable gun reform. We've heard the voices of senators pleading with their colleagues to act and to do something. We've heard the voices of high school students from Parkland Elementary, or from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. In the past couple of weeks, we have heard the heartbreaking voices of parents and members of the community in Uvalde, Texas, asking our leaders, asking our president, asking us to do something. All of these are voices calling out to try, like Peter, to try and help to make sure that more heartbreaking tragedies do not need to be experienced in this world. I see and I hear a parallel between the words of Peter and those in our country who are calling for gun reform these past few weeks. Peter saw a tragedy. He saw the tragedy of Judas's death. And inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up with a message of Jesus' love and acceptance and forgiveness. Peter stood up and spoke so that he could do what he could to prevent more tragedies like the tragedy of Judas's death. Peter's words, his actions of standing up and speaking out. We are told that his words had an effect. There in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, we're told that 3,000 people were affected by his words, and they were baptized into accepting God's love and forgiveness. Peter spoke up, and 3,000 people came to realize that their lives were not first and foremost defined by their mistakes or their sins or the things that they had done, but that their lives were first and foremost defined by God, by God's grace and God's love. Peter spoke up, and it had an effect. My friends, when tragedy strikes our world, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are those who are motivated and encouraged and inspired to stand up, to speak out, and to do what we can to prevent other tragedies from unfolding again. As Christians, we have the message of God's love and forgiveness and acceptance. We are called by God's Holy Spirit to speak up. And when we share that message, we can help to prevent the tragedies that are brought about by despair, loneliness, and guilt. When tragedies unfold in this world, God's Spirit motivates us to stand up and to speak out. The Spirit is with us. So let us not delay. Let us stand up and let us speak the messages that God gives us with clarity and intention. And may we do all that we can to prevent tragedies from striking God's people in this world. Amen.